You're listening to the God Guns Liberty Podcast with JC Hall.
Welcome to the God Guns Liberty Podcast. This is JC Hall. I am your host. Make sure you follow me at JC Hall Global on Instagram, at JC Hall Global. Glad to have you joining in today. A lot going on in the world and in the news and in the nation. There are days where it seems like the nation is coming apart at its seams in many aspects. And lots of crazies out there on every level, in the government, in the communities, in the schools, on the streets, in the executive seats of companies, businesses, and corporations. Crazy. But there's a lot of good people out there still. As well, good patriots like you, good people that you go to church with, good people in your neighborhood, good people that you meet every day. Good things are happening. There are good things happening, positive things still out there. People still fighting, people still standing up, people still organizing, people building parallel systems, moving themselves out of control and dependency. And ultimately, I think it's going to take that for the future. And I think for the present, it's going to take all that plus some divine intervention. More importantly, I think people of faith, believers, people with the truth, people with convictions of their faith, standing up, standing strong, and speaking out. I really feel like, you know, primarily people of faith that if people of faith would stand up, particularly Christians, churches, would stand up and do the right thing, then it would make all the difference. I was looking at some statistics about past elections and came to the conclusion that evangelicals in particular determine who is in the White House in particular, but who is in the federal offices. It is solely determined by evangelical Christians. Why do I say that? Again, the statistics, the demographics, setting aside the issues of potential voter fraud here and there and that sort of thing, I've always been of the opinion, and I'm still of the opinion, that for the most part, except in, you know, very exceptional circumstances, for the most part, throughout the nation, that voter fraud only succeeds on a mass scale when the margins are slim. So whatever the manipulations and motivations and different things that can cause shifts in the voting electorate. So in other words, if the opposition, you know, if both parties are really, if it's a close election, if it's relatively close, then the margins are thin enough that they can get in there and, you know, somebody can commit voter fraud and cause, you know, cause a change, cause a disruption. If you beat them by a wide margin, then the voter fraud has to be so obvious that they can't succeed as well. Now, we obviously know there are certain exceptions to that. But in general, I think that's true for the most part. And I think that's reflected in a bit in what we saw. You know, look at the first Trump election. And the massive victory really came down to evangelical engagement. And then the shifting margins in many of the races after that had to do with evangelicals sitting on the sidelines. So when evangelical Christians turn out en masse, and believers in general, I would include Catholics, you know, conservative Catholics in this, and just believers in general, people of faith, when people of faith turn out en masse, then most of the time voter fraud can't affect the election, and we win, or at least the people that represent our principles most closely win. And when we're not there, we lose, and we open the door for mass manipulations. That's the bottom line. Again, I'm not denying the effects of voter fraud or that exists or anything, or that can sway elections in different places regardless of what's happening. I know that can happen. But I'm talking about as a general rule, in most cases, in most places, you could say it like this: if the church in particular turned out like it was supposed to, then it would make any sort of voter results manipulation much, much, much more difficult. So really, I attribute the way of elections by and large to the activities of the church. Bottom line, that's how I see it. One man's opinion, but that's how I see it, looking at the statistics, looking at what happens and has happened in elections. And I think the voter fraud narrative, so it's almost like, you know, different elements that added up and brought us to where we are. So because you know, wokeism infiltrated the church and so many believers bought into the propaganda nonsense of all the media manipulations and things that happen with the Trump, you know, Trump's a racist and Trump's, you know, Trump's this rough guy and all this, you know, Trump distortions that happen in the media. The church world, a lot of it was convinced, you know, this guy was toxic and we're sick of him and turned away and all this stuff and turned the reins over to Joe Biden, and that's what happened. Rather than holding your nose and going, you know, let's keep this not perfect president, you know, non-pastor in the White House for four more years and continue a lot of policies that was doing the country a lot of good, particularly in the area of religious liberty, rather than hold your nose and keep the country headed in the right direction despite any man's personal failings, the church said it's okay to open the door to a guy who was not just somebody we thought was obnoxious and a little bit of gruff and a sinner like the rest of us, but to a guy whose every belief, every single belief from top to bottom was oppositional to every single thing a believer ought to hold dear and believe. So this is the kind of, accepting there are the two choices. Obviously, there's other ways to go. You know, people talk about third party and all these other different things. But given the two candidates that, you know, we could say are given to us to choose from, given the system as the way it is, that was the bizarre calculus that happened in the church-going world that, you know, boy, This guy's tweets are really mean, and you know, years ago he was a sinner who had problems controlling himself, and you know, a couple other things that we really need to watch this guy on and try to hold him account to. You know, we don't want that guy because his tweets are mean. And we have a few problems here and there with this guy. So let's just let this guy who, you know, nothing. We don't agree with anything with this guy. And in fact, he's actively opposes everything we stand for. So, you know, he doesn't mean tweet. So let's let him run the country into the ground. That's the church world as it stands today. And you still hear that same stuff. You know, it's. You know, we're tired of this guy. His time is over because of, you know, all the same stuff before. And it's fine. You know, people are like, oh, we got Vivek Ramaswamy, and he says all these things that, you know, that's they sound right and line up with liberty. Fine. Okay. It's fine. But I still hear the fixation of trying to suck up to Democrats. I mean, I'm listening to Republicans trying to suck up to Democrats. You know, I mean, like, oh, we hate Trump, too. And what else do you want us to say to make you feel good? You know, loony Democrats, progressive radicals that are trying to run the country to hell. What can we say that aligns with, you know, what you would like to hear? That's how I hear Republicans talking now. So it's still the same sort of stuff. So that's where we are with that. But that's the drama on that side. So there we go. Still there with Trump. We can go in some other time with all the crazy court proceedings going on. We'll try to spend some time on that a little bit later. But I want to look at a couple of things I was thinking about. With all the disruption, with all the lunacy, you know, have the media manipulation that people buy into. So often, the media narrative, the tribalism. Socially and the tribalism politically feeds this sort of societal unrest and this kind of devolving of society where there seems to be this sociopathy arising in so many sectors because of the tribalistic manipulations, so that that you look around, there's so many heinous things happening where it seems like entire segments of society has lost feeling for their fellow human beings. I see all of these different heinous acts and acts of violence and different attacks. And because of tribal identities, if the perpetrator is my tribe, then you see these hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of comments on these events justifying and explaining away these heinous acts, right? So you don't know what this, you know, where this person came from. You don't know their struggle or the victim deserves it because of some grievance, blah, blah, blah. So you see this you know, what used to be classified as a pathology, like sociopathic tendencies where you don't have feeling for victims of violence and attacks and persecution and whatnot. Because of how they have promoted our tribal instinct, to fight for and defend our own tribe to the expense of, you know, whatever, our own humanity. And so as that rises, what it seems to give opportunity for is for an ever-expanding federal government to continue to strengthen, you know, its grip on the people at large, continue to consolidate its power and expand itself. It takes these opportunities, this disruption, this chaos, to come rushing in and say, you know, we have to be really big and really strong, have access to everything and control over everybody so that we can save you from what's happening in society. This is what I'm afraid is really the conclusion of all that we're seeing. All of this chaos feeds the beast, feeds the expansion of the growth, power, and control of this centralized government. So here's a couple of examples. Now, this was from about a month ago, you know, and that's the funny thing with all the electoral turmoil and focus. So many times we miss these events, these other events that are happening that seem to be pieces of the puzzle. While we're looking at all the election drama over here, we don't even know what's going on in other places. So a couple of reports, I want you to watch this, listen to this, and I'm going to give you my thoughts, and I'd love to hear what you think about this. So when the show is posted, streaming, make your comments, and give me your insights on what's happening. And by the way, you can go to I think when the show is on Spotify, for those of you who listen, there's some polls that we put up. You can answer the polling questions on the show where you find that, and I'll try to make sure there's links if you're going to chrisenhall.com to get to the podcast. So give us your thoughts on these events and what you think is happening, where you think we're headed and what's going on out there. So first little snippet, shooting in Fargo, North Dakota, that happened not too long ago. Check this out.
The attack happened following a traffic crash on July 14th. The gunman killed Minnesota native Jake Wallin. Officers Andrew Dotis and Tyler Hawes were critically hurt. Officer Zach Robinson shot and killed the suspect. WCCO's Esme Murphy walks us through the footage from Robinson's body camera.
The officers were responding to a routine fender bender when the shooting began.
Central, we got shots fired. Central, we got shots fired. Central, we got a man with an AK-47. He's shooting at us. We're out. Central, shots fired, shots fired. We got three officers down.
So this is an apparent ambush of police officers, Fargo, North Dakota, I believe it was. And I don't know if you could make out in the sound. It's very clearly automatic weapons fire, right? Not your standard semi-automatic rifle like the radicals are always, you know, always targeting. And we need to turn over and give up because of things like this. This was clearly an automatic weapon in this fellow's hands, which you can argue that's another argument, but. Anyway, contrary to what they're always pitching about, you need to turn in your ARs. Most ARs out there that you own, even under these laws, are not typically automatic weapons. They're semi-automatic. And so, apparent ambush. You have one officer killed, a couple others wounded, and then the fourth officer finally ending the life of the suspect as he rounded the car. It looked like he had hit the guy, and came out of his car door, and he's shooting as these officers at the traffic stop. Drops three of them pretty quickly. It looks like he gets hit by the fourth officer, and then he goes around the side of the car. He's on the ground. The officer eventually takes him out, but you can see as the one officer rounds the vehicle he was hiding behind, or, you know, covering himself behind, you can see three officers down on the sidewalk in the grass. And, you know, in the one guy's voice, obviously shook up by that. But amazing how he maintained control and, you know, controlled the adrenaline dump and fight or flight and stayed pretty composed and on target there, taking care of business. And the suspect was a Mohammed Barakat. I believe is how you say his last name, a Syrian refugee who came in on the refugee program begun under Barack Obama. So he'd been here and, you know, just never engaged, you know, no social media, like practically no phone calls. I mean, just total kept to himself. Everything he did was acquire guns, work at a gun store, get gun training, gun practice, search how to shoot people on the internet and crowds and mass gatherings. And so this day, apparently there was a big festival going on nearby, and they suspect, you know, he was trying to cause a diversion at this little traffic stop and then head over to the festival and start shooting a bunch of people. So it has all the, you know, all the sort of sounds of, you know, here's this guy from Syria who was, oh, and apparently, by the way, he popped up on some terror watch list type database thing before this, right? That sounds familiar. So you have all the markings of, you know, this guy was a terrorist from the get-go, comes over from Syria, bides his time planning and just waiting to wreak havoc. And they, you know, and then they say, well, we don't find any evidence he's connected to any cell or anybody else or any co-conspirators or whatever. He looks like a lone wolf. So You know, on the one hand, you've got this whole scenario to freak people out, and then on the other hand, they're dismissing it like, yeah, no big deal. He was just a crazy guy. Despite all the other indicators that, you know, he came from a particular location, and obviously there was something there to end him up on some sort of watch list briefly that they paid no attention to, and ends up shooting these officers and apparently planning to cause more mayhem. They found a bunch of ammunition, bunch of guns, bunch more guns, explosives in the car, in the apartment, lots of things. Then the weird thing was they go hush hush. Like, this is about a month ago already, and they just kind of drop it. Like, you don't hear much of anything else. I mean, this story right here, as I'm looking at it, was updated just yesterday, and, you know, still practically says nothing. So just kind of goes silent, like they're hoping, you know, you forget about the details. But here we go with another. This just adds a list of another incident to give them reasons for all the things the various sides want to do, to restrict firearms, to expand the power of federal government, and just get bigger, get the noose tighter around the rest of us. So check this other one out. I think it's even more telling, even more to the point. Here's shooting just happened in Houston.
Accused of shooting a Harris County deputy last night and two more law enforcement officers today, a fourth was also injured by shrapnel.
When officers were approaching the home where he was located in Humble, and at that point, Green fired at those law enforcement officials. Two U.S. Marshals were hit, and then one deputy was injured, in addition to the deputy who was injured the day before. Joseph Anderson is his name. He's recovering in the hospital, and the other deputies are expected to be okay tonight as well.
And as we've been watching this, we've really seen the full scope and the full strength of law enforcement in our community. We had multiple agencies all working together, from the FBI, U.S. Marshals, the Harris County Sheriff's Department, all working together to come to this conclusion. As we've really seen the full scope and the full strength of law enforcement in our community, we had multiple agencies all working together, from the FBI, U.S. Marshals, the Harris County Sheriff's Department, all working together to come to this conclusion.
Okay, so I hope that stood out for you. I tried to put some emphasis there so you pick up on the narrative. So you have this shooting in Houston. First off, he shoots some cop, and apparently in a traffic stop or something. And you already got the marshals and FBI and all this on site come to this guy. And you hear the newscaster, you know, celebrating this consolidation of forces in your community. Now you have all these federal government resources and U.S. Marshal, FBI, you know, ATF, whoever, IRS, SWAT teams, Department of Education SWAT teams, you know, all of this consolidation that people can celebrate because we had this bad guy shooter and he shot a police officer, and then they went and took him down and he shot more people, and thank God we have the FBI and the U.S. Marshals and ATF and every other federal agency in our town working to help our poor little police department, poor little podunk sheriff department get the job done. Now, I understand, you know, if you look at different federal laws of, you know, whatever is legitimately jurisdiction or some federal law that they're supposed to be dealing with, you know, and that's what they do. So you get some, you know, you get some deadly substance sent to you in the mail. You know, obviously that's classified under the laws, federal offense, and you'd probably look for, you'd probably say, hey, FBI or Postal Service Inspector, you know, handle this. They'd come in. But, it's, you know, and some people argue that. You talk about all the different things that may not even be legitimate jurisdictions under federal, under these federal laws, but even in that, a lot of these things we see aren't even that. There's local, you know, local things under local law or state law, and nevertheless, you have these, you know, dozens of federal agencies swooping. Well, they don't have to swoop in. They already have offices all over your communities. So, you know, the federal troops are already. The federal agents are already embedded everywhere throughout the country. So I have these offices all over the place. And I know, you know, the conservatives are going to be, that's somehow offensive, and I'm not back in the blue and supporting law enforcement and blah, 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 blah. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, you know, even in this scenario of whatever they're doing, you know, to catch this guy, you know, oh, JC, you don't want some cop killer to get caught. Okay, whatever. Yeah, I'm not saying that. Fine. But I'm just trying to bring your attention to the broader leveraging of these incidents. And this is how the creep happens when, you know, rather than equipping your local peace officers, your local agencies to be able to handle things, rather than equipping them for that, this is the way it goes. It's just automatically invite every federal agency in, you know, because, oh, our guys need assistance. You know, we're so glad we have the lab from the FBI, this and that and all these resources and know-how and expertise and yada, yada, yada. That's how it happens. You need us. You know, we have all these bells and whistles. Well, why do you have all those bells and whistles? Well, because they confiscate wealth from all over the nation, consolidate in D.C., and build all these massive structures that are highly capable and, you know, have the latest technology and the greatest expertise. And, you know, yeah, if we stole everybody's money and concentrated where we were, we could do that too. Or possibly if you stop stealing our wealth and consolidated where you are and we keep it in our states and communities, we could do that ourselves. So, but this is just the way it's happened. So I'm not speaking about, you know, the legitimate prosecution of crime or those sorts of things. I'm just saying big picture, the more and more these things happen. I mean, this, let me connect the dots for you. So here's what I'm saying. You see the manipulations in the media that fuel the tribalistic rivalries, reactions, the tribalistic deadening of feeling to those outside your tribe promotes more brutality and action against others outside your tribe. So then we see these clashes, these skirmishes, then the struggle over territorial power, tribal power, ideological power and control. Because you want your tribe to be dominant. You want the other tribe to be subjugated. Back and forth, back and forth. So this, and then the tribes get more and more extreme. So this extreme tribe takes over the legislature, takes over the media, takes over certain aspects of different society. And your whole purpose is to defeat the other tribe. And it's back and forth, back and forth. It's not like the focus is not, you know, liberty for all, you know, tolerate the differences and let people be people. If they're harming somebody, we deal with that. If you're not harming anybody just because we disagree with you, fine, whatever. No, there's tribal rivalry. And so it turns into almost this gang warfare, which begets lawlessness. So then you see complete lawlessness throughout, everywhere. More lawlessness begets more brutality. And then you see this outright manifestations of violence and attacks. And then that requires some sort of response. And because of the massive taxation regime over the states and the localities, to where local governments and communities are made impoverished and dependent upon a massively centralized government with all the resources and expertise and capabilities, then the states and local governments reach out, hey, come help us with this problem that manifested. Well, the problem manifested because the people you're calling on to come bail you out, the ones that stirred up and fed and maintained the system that produced these problems in the first place. So they set up all the scenarios to create the problems. And then they corral you into a place where you look to them to be the solution. And so then all the society joins together in these singular events to say, yes, in this case, the consolidation and expansion of their power is justified because they're the only ones capable of keeping us safe and maintaining order. So the more disorder they create, the more order we clamor for, then the more order they bring in the form of greater and greater consolidated power and control. Now, I know a lot of folks out there like to, every bad thing that happens is some false flag. So the Fargo thing is a false flag. The Houston thing is a false flag. Look, all these things don't have to be scripted, specifically scripted and directly orchestrated to achieve these ends. Are there things like that? Yeah, I'm sure there are. But you don't have to go to those great lengths if you're already manipulating the context of societal events and manipulating human nature as it exists in the first place, feeding the tribal divisions, feeding the tribal extremes. I don't have to have a script and create a false flag and directly control, like some movie director, something that happens. If I know the right buttons to push, the right schisms to continue to feed, these are going to be unavoidable eventualities. I don't have to script it. It's going to happen because I've set the stage for it. Then I just wait. Feed it and wait. I throw, fuel, oxygen, combustible material, and a spark. Eventually a fire's going to happen. So I can add all the ingredients. So everything doesn't have to be a false flag. Sometimes I get irritated that like nothing ever happens. No, it's bigger than that. Like, to me, that lets them off the hook. Like, they had to go, like, it's all, they're the only element. They wrote the script and they sent in some actors and they did this thing. It lets everybody else off the hook. As if people are not responding, as if people are not being manipulated, as if people are not embracing ignorance and just allowing themselves to be manipulated. It lets everybody else off the hook with this stuff. So sometimes that stuff's taken too far, where the everything that happens, everybody's looking for a false flag. Not everything's a false flag. It's not. Are there false flags? Absolutely. Absolutely there are. Are certain things specifically orchestrated? Are there little agents and, Manchurian, the MK Ultra controlled, all this? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it. I think you'd have to be a fool not to understand that. But there are other ways besides that, right? There are other ways. And I think when we ignore the power of their social manipulation, because if I say, well, it's just if they put drugs in you or they got to do this and do that, then I get this idea that as long as I don't swallow this, take this, I don't take a shot, right? Then I can't get the nanites in me so they can mind control me. No, they can mind control you without directly coming in physical contact with you to put some agent in your body. That's what I'm saying. There's psychological manipulations with just the information that they put out, the narrative and the constant drumbeat of this brainwashing. They can do it that way too. So be careful of trying to, have this one-size-fits-all idea about what's going on out there, because you're gonna miss other stuff where they sneak in and are able to manipulate you. And that's why the social media stuff, the anti-social media is so dangerous. That's one of the mechanisms for that. I mean, you get some bunch of nutcases acting like an idiot and spark them to do something just by what's being fed, the crafted narrative being fed into the minds of these folks from the social media and from, you know, the news media, movies, just digital media. I don't have to put something into your body. I put it into your mind just by what you're looking at, what you're listening at, and what you accept. So it's not one thing. It's many avenues where this stuff comes at you. Now, could there be more to these two episodes? Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. But my point is the end result. It's the same. These things are used, and they get the public clamoring for the Savior. And this is an opportunity to consolidate power and gain more control. So I think in every case possible, whatever is happening, whatever is going on, we have to constantly have the perspective of enabling the local communities to take care of business. We should avoid as much as possible looking for help from some federal source, the source of our centralized government, because they just want to use that as an excuse. They want to use an opportunity to weasel their way in and gain more control. And at the end of the day, it's not going to be to come in to save you for some shooter. It's going to be that now they have all of their forces stationed all around you, and they have control of all of your systems that you depend on. And now whatever they tell you to do, you're going to do it. That's the end goal. That's the end of the story. Not about protecting you from a shooter. It's about bringing you into the corral so that you finally march to the beat of their drum and you have no choice. Because way back when everybody was scared of the boogeyman, we all invited the real monster to come save us. It was just a wolf in sheep's clothing who showed up for dinner. So you better be mindful. Be mindful when the wolf comes knocking at the door. Don't get fooled by the costume. Keep the faith. Get some discernment. Father sent the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. Keep your spirit in tune. These are the days. And the clock is ticking. Stay safe. Stay ready. Stay prepared. Stay up. Stay hopeful. Stay connected. God bless. This is JC. I'm out.
Listening to the God, Guns, Liberty podcast with J.C. Holmes.